In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Amen. How do you remember? Do you have old photographs? Do you display heirlooms? Do you have a mantle or a curio cabinet or a special box hidden away? If I came to your home and asked you to show me your loved ones who are gone, what would you show me? How do you remember? Do you keep a journal? Do you blog or write a Christmas newsletter every year? Do you have souvenirs like my collection of fridge magnets from every city and national park I've ever visited? If I came to your home and asked you to show me your journey, what would you show me? How do you remember? Is there a ring on your left hand? Is there a sobriety token in your pocket? Do you keep an obsessively color-coded calendar of tasks and appointments like I do? If I came to your home and asked you to show me your promises, what would you show me? How do we remember? As children of God, as followers of Jesus, as the church, how do we remember the one we can no longer see? How do we remember the journey we have been on? How do we remember the promises we have made? When we come into this space with these questions, what shall we show one another? Today's gospel story is all about remembering, that we don't know that until we get to the end. Lazarus, good old Lazarus, is throwing a dinner party for Jesus, and maybe the whole town is there, or maybe it's just an intimate group of friends. But Lazarus is playing the magnanimous host. Martha is busy serving food, of course. It's a celebratory meal. It's almost like a birthday party, because this is the very day that Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus is celebrating his new life and toasting the holy man who raised him. And we would expect his sisters, Martha and Mary, to also be in the mood of celebration. But that's when Mary does something strange. Maybe during dinner, she suddenly goes pale. Maybe right in the midst of celebrating her brother's miraculous recovery, she suddenly falls into deep sadness. Maybe she looks over at her teacher, sitting at the head of the table, drinking and laughing with her brother, and maybe she catches Jesus' eye, and he catches hers, and then she knows. And before she realizes what she's doing, she runs to her room and grabs that package she's kept hidden in her closet. Kept hidden for weeks, that package that she has scrimped and saved for maybe since the very first day she heard her teacher speak. And she grabs that package and dashes back into the room where everyone is eating and drinking and laughing, and they all stop and they see her. And maybe she looks like she's just seen a ghost. And maybe there are tears running down her cheeks. And with all eyes on her, she pours out that perfume, a full pound of it, enough to cover a whole body. She stoops down and dumps this whole thing over Jesus' feet as the tears keep streaming, mixing with the costly oil, this big, stinky, expensive mess all over the floor. And I like to think she doesn't even hear Judas' words of scorn and judgment, because she knows. Somehow she knows that the end is near. And that's all that matters to her. Somehow she knows that this ultimate miracle of her brother's life means that they are only days away from Jesus' death. And the only thing left for her to do is to remember. She performs this act of mourning, of grief, this act of remembrance for the dead by ritually perfuming a corpse after its burial. Yet the really strange thing about this is that she's remembering into the future. As Mary anoints his feet, for her, in that moment, Jesus is already dead. And as the whole house fills with the gorgeous stench of a whole pound of perfume, that jubilant house suddenly transforms into his tomb. Mary is for us a model of how we as Christians remember. How we remember our teacher who has gone. How we remember this journey that we are on. How we remember our promises. You see, for us to remember is not simply to recall. Remembering is not a purely intellectual exercise, like remembering the date of the Battle of Gettysburg. Nor is it really a reenactment, as some do, to remember the Battle of Gettysburg. Simply to recall or to reenact keeps the past safely in the past. But for us, as with Mary and her perfume, remembering is more like time travel. Like Mary, we remember by folding the past and the future into the same moment. What has happened before happens again, right now, and forever. What will happen, what is promised to us in the future, is already present to us and will never go away. Next Sunday, we will come in here. We will wave palms and look ridiculous. And the more ridiculous we look, the better. Because it is once again the very same moment in this space that Jesus is entering the holy city of Jerusalem. On Maundy Thursday, we will eat a delicious supper together, and it will be the very same supper Jesus ate with his friends. We will wash each other's feet, and they will be the feet that Jesus washed. We will celebrate one last Eucharist, and it will be the last bread and wine that Jesus blessed for his disciples. We will keep watch with the sacrament in the chapel, and we will be right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, nervous about what comes next. On Good Friday, we touch just a random hunk of wood, because in that moment, it will be the very cross on which Jesus gave his life. And at the great vigil of Easter, we will kindle a blazing new fire. Don't tell the fire marshal. We will kindle a blazing new fire because it is once again the beginning of the universe, and God has said, "Let there be light." And we will follow a pillar of flame because that will be the night when we and the Israelites will walk from slavery into freedom. And we will tell old stories and sing old songs and renew the promises of our baptisms because it is each of our baptisms once again. And we will sit in the darkness of this space because we are sitting with Christ in his dark and fragrant tomb. For having been buried with Christ, we will once again and forevermore be given new birth through him. As Deacon Linda wrote in her wonderful invitation this week, these 3 days are all one service. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the great vigil of Easter. I'm sorry to say, it only really works if you come to all three. And that is a big ask. And I know it. It's a big ask, especially if you have kids with bedtimes and homework, especially if you're working long days, especially if driving after dark is dangerous for you, especially if everyone is coming to your house for Easter Sunday. Like with Mary, there's a cost to coming to these three services. You have to budget for that time. Time you could and even ought to spend on other things. You know, I wish when John wrote today's gospel, he had left out that part about Judas being a thief. Because his objection is a perfectly valid one. Shouldn't Mary have spent this money on helping the poor? Shouldn't we redirect the time and money we spend on these worship services into something else? Isn't there something you could ask yourself rightly? Isn't there something else I should spend my time doing? Yet again, I think Mary provides our model to this question, because she didn't anoint Jesus' feet as an act of piety. Jesus didn't ask her to do it. He didn't make a new rule that this is how you have to worship me. She did it because in that moment, it's what she needed to do. It's what she needed in order to remember him and to not be overcome by the adversity she foresaw coming. She did it in order to continue to live the kind of life where you do serve the poor and the hungry and the oppressed. And the same is true for us. Of course, there are other worthwhile things you could be doing with your time instead of coming to church at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. So don't come to these services because I'm asking you, or because Linda is asking you, or Wesley or Betsy or anyone else is asking of you. Don't come out of guilt or obligation or duty to Jesus. Jesus is fine. He'll be all right. Come to these services because, like Mary, that's what you need to do in this moment. Make the time for these three services because your life is crazy busy and stressful right now. Come because the world has gone mad and you've lost hope for the future. Come because you've suffered a loss and you don't know how to carry on. Come because you're fighting with a friend, or because you feel guilty about something, or because your feet hurt, or because there are days when you just feel utterly alone. Come because we are doing this thing together called interim ministry, which is really difficult, and we're all figuring out what will come next for this community. Come and time travel with us, because right now, at this moment in your life, maybe you really do need to remember who this guy Jesus was in the first place. And maybe you really would like to see again this road that we've been walking along with him. And maybe because it would really help you to be reminded of the sort of life you once said you wanted to live. And you want to claim that again. So next week, let us all once again make this space, the streets of Jerusalem and the upper room and the Mount of Olives and the temple courts and that hilltop called Golgotha. And let us also make it the household of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, filled with the fragrance of all our hopes and all our fears, all our grief and all our joy. Amen.